Welcome aboard, you people. It is the Starship Rokan Show with Anna DeBlanc. Oh, no. Hold on. Run script. I got. Hold on.
Man, one day off and you're already falling into old habits.
Okay, got that. All right.
That only happened a dozen more times.
The Anna DeBlanc show starts on Monday at 1 o'clock on WGN, on 720 WGN. Still that, right?
I believe so, yes.
Yes, thank you.
Format has remained the same. We're not switching to country or anything like that.
I'm not sure that's true. All right, so thank you. I was off for a day. Did you guys, I don't know if you guys discussed, I wasn't really listening yesterday. I was having a bit of a pain moment.
Yeah.
So was there a discussion of this?
Yeah, we talked about it for at least half the show because, you know, that's normal.
We did not get into details of why you're off.
All right, okay. All right, I'll get into details a little bit
later. As a private matter, we weren't sure where to go.
It's a HIPAA violation.
Exactly.
Yeah. So we'll get to, I'm sure Ben will bring it up because Ben's been texting me about this. Apparently they were discussing it on Windy City Live, though, which was, nice. So that's it. Okay. I think it's out there. I'll discuss it later. It was a kidney stone. Yeah,
it is out there.
It is out
now,
there.
Finally.
Now, finally. Yeah, it's now in the universe. It's now, I've you know how they say, don't put that out in the universe?
Yeah.
That's what I did. Somewhere now in the Mississippi River is my kidney stone heading towards St. Louis.
Oh, gross. I'm
glad you're back.
We missed you.
Thank you.
Were you Rose Strong?
I was not. I think I can clearly say I do not suffer in silence, and I did not.
Did your fancy toilet take care of you?
You're not going to tell you the problem with that is that it flushes by itself.
Oh,
yeah. So you're sometimes you're like, hey, but I got to look. Oh, wait, hey, stop. So.
No need to point out I have a problem. Thanks.
Well, I'm glad it's over because Friday, Roe and Lauren were talking about some gruesome medical details, mm-hmm. and I was kind of wincy and getting out of the
Poor
studio
Kevin,
as often
yeah.
as possible. I'm glad we've moved on.
Because it started on Friday during the show, and I'm like, okay, I'll be fine.
We got into details because I, strangely, as an 18-year-old female, had a kidney stone and had to go through the process of even getting surgery from it. So you're kind of...
I'm lucky.
Charts here.
Yeah. Well, I'm lucky. And I was just, it's funny. There's another coworker we have here. And we literally just spent 10 minutes discussing our kidney stones.
You guys were like, oh, yeah, me too.
So now I understand. Now you'll see this at Thanksgiving this year when the grandparents get together and they all discuss their Lipitor, right?
Bowel movements.
Right. Yeah. That'll happen. Right.
A lot.
Yeah. And then you're like, what are you doing? Why are you talking about that? Right. And now, Brett and I were just standing here. He's also had, this is my first. Thank you. And thank you very
much. Never forget your first kidney stone.
I will not. No. And so we're sitting here talking about it. We're comparing symptoms, and I'm like, I can't believe I'm having this conversation. But it's amazing because when it goes, it's done. Right?
Once it's out of your system.
Once it says goodbye, and then like everything is like the sun rises and the birds are singing, and it's like it's like you're it's a moment where you are. You think you're going to die, and then you're afraid you're not going to die. That's the kind of the moment.
You're reminded of what feeling normal feels like.
Yeah.
Which you never think is going to happen again when you're going through that pain.
Yeah. So, there you go.
It's crazy.
So,
that's probably the closest you'll ever be to feeling childbirth.
This talk. That's the actual passing process, they say. But the pain of when it arrives is kind of like a stabbing pain in the mm-hmm. back.
Yeah.
See, now after Friday and listening to you guys, anytime over the weekend I felt any little thing, I'm like, it's got to be a kidney stone. A kidney stone.
I don't think you can catch a kidney stone.
I'm like, wouldn't that be so weird if like somehow it like rubbed off on me and now I have a kidney stone? I'm like, damn it. It got me freaked out.
I was making fun of Roe. I shouldn't have. Oh my God.
I
don't have to go to his
stone.
Funeral. Right. Oh
gosh. The paranoia has already started.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, anyway, so I'm wearing, for those of you watching on Seal TV, I'm wearing soft clothing because I thought I was still, it wasn't doing anything today. And then all of a sudden, bam, I'm like, okay. 11 o'clock this morning, I'm talking to the show, and I'm saying, hey, I can come back now. I survived.
I did.
Well, it worked out well. Now you can enjoy Thanksgiving. You passed your kidney stone.
Now, this is a problem. Let me explain what the problem is. Because this was going to be my perfect excuse to get out of all of my responsibilities for Thanksgiving. And my daughter called me, and she's like, all right, how are you feeling? And I go, I'm better. I'm going to go to work. Great! And then she ran through a list of things.
We need you to pick up this,
bang,
this,
bang,
this,
bang,
this,
bang,
this.
Bang, bang, right. So I'm back. I'm back now. That's all good. Thank you. Coming up on the program today, Ben Bradley, as I mentioned, is going to be here. Also, Ryan Burrow is going to tell us about the weather. If you're trying to get out of town to go to grandma's house, mm-hmm. there are going to be some problems.
Tomorrow? Oh, yeah.
And there are going to be there's especially air problems. Now, there's going to be some road travel problems tomorrow, as you mentioned.
Right. But, well, obviously, just congestion alone.
But. Right. But then there's the aviation issues because Denver just got socked.
Oh, yeah. Which is a huge snowstorm.
Gigantic feeder to Chicago because of United. And also, if you're going west, it's also a feeder going west. And then the east is going to get hit as we head through the weekend. Mm-hmm. So, good luck, everybody.
And the winds just alone, too.
Well, we'll get you all caught up on what you should be avoiding. Jeff Garlin is going to be here.
Ooh.
Our friend Jeff Garlin. Our Man in Chicago is his new streaming comedy special.
Yeah, I scrolled past that the other day when I was like, what should I watch on Netflix? And then you don't watch anything.
Don't tell him that.
Well, it's not like I chose a different stand-up special over his.
All right.
I decided I was too exhausted to even spend time watching TV.
And Mr. Oh, my God, Dr. Jim Adams is going to be here. I didn't see this for Northwestern. I was going to call him. Oh, man. And Alex Stone, no relation to Kidney Stone, is going to be here. Do you realize that there's a mystery about the dog's gender, the canine hero that was at the White House yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
It's apparently non-binary. Lauren Lapka's got the traffic and the weather.
It's an annual tradition like no other. Join WGN Morning News, Dan Ponce, Lauren Jiggins, and Sarah Gindra for Chicago's Thanksgiving Parade. Thanksgiving morning starting at 8 a.m. on WGN TV. I like how they write Ginger's name phonetically. It says gin like the drink.
And everybody knows she's more of a Miller Lite girl.
All right, Ben Bradley joins us right now with the WGN TV newsroom. If you're wondering what that was all about, that's what that was all about.
Did you see Sarah Gindra and Morgan and Lauren Jiggetts in their bit today just essentially reading mean comments they received from viewers while pregnant?
Oh, my gosh, yes. And I love this as a female who's been in the news business.
Mm-hmm.
People are very cruel about your appearance.
I mean, we always say our viewers are the best and some of them are the worst because people were, you know, messaging in these very talented folks who were pregnant and, you know, doing the best to manage a career and a 2 a.m. wake-up call and all that. Your butt looks big in this, and you got to stop wearing polka dots and this and this and this and this. So if you get a chance.
Funny, guys don't get that.
No. Oh, my gosh.
I mean,
I could wear the same thing for 2 weeks straight and no one would notice.
I mean, they'll call you all kinds of other things.
Yes.
Right. It's really primal. I've figured this out. It's like life and death. It's people, especially the fat shaming thing,
mm-hmm.
and that's a lot of that's
even
from other women
who are not overweight by any means.
Right,
right.
But it's people who are in some way. I mean, think of the sickness that it takes to have to lash out at people about that you don't know.
Right,
it's weird. But there's a lot of them out there, and they seem to all watch television.
And they're more emboldened these days. You know, I think
everybody
thinks
is.
If you have a Twitter account or a Facebook account, that gives you a license to just, you know, hurl insults. And I guess it does. It gives you a license to say whatever you want about anything you want, despite what little information you have.
Oh, I just want to know, does it really make them feel better, too, that they said it? Because I can't imagine it does.
No.
What's the point otherwise?
You know what?
It's not going to change anything.
Some people feel like, ha! I got a good zinger off, or I took down that person on TV.
Well,
or on the radio.
When you get that, I always think I'd rather be me than you. You know, so.
And Ro, considering your life challenges over the years and how hypochondriacal you've been about
hypochondriacal.
Them,
you said the wrong syllable.
That's quite the statement to say. I'd rather be me than you.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's been a good run, as Kevin would say. It's been a really good run.
We had our third part of our Getting Away with Murder series. Very proud that we really went in depth on the issues facing the police department and prosecutors and families who were left without justice. I get off the air yesterday and last night at 9:25, and people were tweeting me, having not seen the story, not read the story. How could you do this? How could you? I'm like, well, the entire story was just about what you said we didn't talk about. Well, I didn't see the story.
Again, we made a major mistake as a society allowing everyone to have a platform on social media.
Kevin, you are
if we
so
could
right.
go back in time, we're
that's kind of true.
Yeah.
It's a major mistake.
If we could go back in time, it might be we might want to consider that.
Right.
Because I here's the thing. Social media is great, but I think everybody on social media should be required to be themselves. you cannot hide behind. You have to apply to get in, and you have to be who you are and identifiable.
You have to say where you're from and who you work for.
Video responses to everything. Let's see your face.
I don't know if you want to see some of that. But seriously, when you're at the Thanksgiving table on Thursday with your family and your extended family, look around that table and think about who you would take a Twitter account away from.
All of them. There are some of my people in my family. I'm like, thank God they barely know how to navigate the internet and have no clue how to start a social media platform, because who knows what they'd get involved
with. Yeah. Or better yet, just record the whole thing and post it online.
Well, right. Well, that's
Here's
what people
Uncle
used
Pete.
To. Well, you know what? This all started with the fax machine. Remember, the fax machine in the 1980s got credited for the Polish Revolution, right? When Poland threw the Soviets out.
The fax machine got credited
Lech Walesa and the whole Gdansk port protest and all of that. The strike that basically was the beginning of the end of the Soviet Empire. It's coming back now, but then it was on the way down. And it was the fax machine and the very early cell phone, because that's how they were communicating with each other. They were using the fax as opposed to picking up the phone and calling, which was then being monitored. They weren't monitoring the faxes. They couldn't figure out how to stop the faxes. And they would organize through the faxes. And I remember starting in talk radio, you bring up any kind of a topic, a hot button topic, whether it was smoking, bicycle or motorcycle helmets, or guns. And you'd get a stack of calls that would be saying the exact same thing in the exact same words. And I couldn't figure it out. I mean, for years I couldn't figure it out. And then I realized it was a fax campaign. There were people who were just assigned to listen to talk radio and wait for their hot button issue to come up. And then they would flood the lines. And they had the exact same talking points.
Interesting.
And so it was not even signed. Here's the thing. If you're on this, there was an anti-motorcycle helmet group called Abate Here that would do that. Mm-hmm. And then, you've got the pro-smoking lobby. Have you ever seen Thank You for Smoking? Right. That's a real thing. And then, of course, the NRA, which has been doing it forever.
And people wonder, after a while, that can't be effective. But it is. I have a couple of people who I'm convinced are Russian trolls.
Oh, and absolutely.
And your family?
Every time.
Which one of the boys is it?
Ethan, we have good news and bad news. No, but every time we even mention for 10 seconds some story, we can do a story about President Trump pardoning the turkey today. And this person will light me up on Twitter saying that it was biased against President Trump. Right. And I think to myself, this person either watches a hell of a lot of WGN or there must be some sort of automated response.
Yeah, well, there's a design to a lot of this.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a Twitter account that comes at me for baseball-related stuff, and I'm not kidding, and he somehow works Trump and Russia and the way it's typed out. I'm like, I'm serious. I'm like, I'm convinced this is a bot from some sort of troll farm in Russia.
I mean, when they're going after the sports reporter,
right?
You know they're digging deep.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
maybe the Russians are to blame for the White Sox, though. You never know.
Well, the great hack, that documentary that is on, I think it's on Netflix, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Right next to Jeff Garlin Netflix special. You should all go see that. He's coming up here at 4:00.
Ding.
The great hack is, whether you agree with it or disagree with what happened in 2016, it's a good way to see how it did develop and what the technology was, because it turns out that one of the guys who was instrumental in that, in building that social system and the bots and all the Facebook digging that went in and started using this technology specifically on Facebook to start targeting like-minded people who were on the fence about which way they were going to vote. They didn't go after the super conservative or the super liberal or the pro-Trump, pro-Hillary. They went after people that they thought were in the middle. And they could do that because these people had filled out a personality profile. They not only dug into those people and started inundating them with news stories, and this was, the Trump campaign had paid for this through this company in Texas that was related to a British company. And what they did is they then went in and got all the friends of those people.
Yes.
Because they figure your friends are like-minded, too. Mm-hmm. And then they went and they attacked them. And they're like, well, I never filled out a personality profile. Well, you didn't have to. You had some friend within 50 of your friends who did.
Yeah.
And that was good enough.
You wonder how it works. Just look at your social media advertising that gets targeted at you, even if you haven't done a Google search. Somehow they know you're in the market for shoes or
something
like that.
Right, exactly. So they've got that worked out. So the thing is, that guy One of the designers of that is now on the other side.
Mm.
He's working for the Democrats this year. So if you think, well, I don't care, we won, you might want to look at that, because then you're going to see exactly how this is working. We need people have their own lives and jobs and families, and they got to put dinner on the table and all that. People don't have a lot of time to consume they don't have a lot of extra time to consume things. I understand that. But there are a few moments that I think are instructive, and this is one of them, because you get to see how your own phone or your laptop is conspiring against you.
Very true. Very true.
All right.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving, Ro, Lauren,
thank you.
Kevin.
Thank you.
You too, Ben.
That's right.
Too,
I'm off tomorrow. I'm back for one day. That's a one night only.
Stay one night only appearance.
Yeah. But then we're back on Monday with a newly configured lineup here at WGN Radio, in which Anna DeVlantis starts her own show at 1 o'clock. So there you go.
Looking forward to that.
All right. Thank you, Ben.
Thank you, guys.
It's always a pleasure to speak with you. Do you have anything special you're doing on Thanksgiving?
Sometimes it is. Yes, spending it with my brothers and all of our families. So lots of cousins together. It'll be great.
How many people total at that table?
There'll be about 20.
Oof.
Yeah.
That's 20. A lot of folding chairs, isn't it?
Oh, I just hope to get moved up to the adults table this time.
Because that's how you know where you are in the family.
Oh, yeah. A couple years ago, I got downshifted to the kids table, so I'm trying to work my way back up.
Yeah. I throw it. I've thrown this. I'm not doing it this year, but I've thrown it at my house, and I've been moved to the folding chair.
Yeah, that's true.
Which is a really weird, because like by the time I get back to the table,
mm-hmm.
after slaving in the kitchen.
Oh, yes.
I get back to the table.
Grubhub. Nobody Grubhubs Thanksgiving like Rokon.
I'll send you. I should put this on the Insta.
Yeah.
My sticking my fist up the turkey.
Please don't.
There's a lot of that going on in my house. I got to clean the turkey inside and out, my friend.
Oh, especially this week. Feeling good?
By the way, there is a story. Just to drive you nuts, Ben, I got 10 seconds up, and I'll tell you this real fast. There is a story about Brexit today
mm-hmm.
that the anti-Brexiteers are putting in the news environment this fear that they're going to have to eat American food if they kick the European continent out, because American food has much worse safety standards, including especially poultry that mm-hmm. is just given a chlorine bath. That's all I'm going
to
tell you
it's
about
our
right
plan
now.
To get back at the Queen.
Yep, there you go. Thank you, Ben.
Yep. Bye-bye.
We got the news right now with Kim Gordon. Rokon Show right here on 720 WGN Chicago. Hey, I want to mention, don't forget, a week from Friday, it's going to be December 6th. I know, doesn't feel like it's going to be, but it is. We are going to be doing the Carnarvon Express show at the Tinley Park Convention Center. It benefits the United States Marine Corps Reserve Toys for Tots program. Bring a new unwrapped toy or game for kids of all ages. It's a live broadcast from 3 to 5:30, then a live concert. Starting at 5:30, featuring the Ides of March, and maybe some special guests along the way. Lauren's been working on a number or two. Richard Roper thinks he's also a rock act.
He got up there last year.
Yeah.
It was Tom Skilling, Richard Roper, and
Jim Peterick.
Jim Peterick up
yeah.
there.
Wow.
It's really quite a... One of their hairs was purple. I won't tell you which one. It was Richard's. Chance to win door prizes. Like the Hiltons of Chicago Winter Getaway Package, signed memorabilia from the White Sox, tickets to see KC and the Sunshine Band at the Four Winds New Buffalo, tickets to the Museum of Science and Industry and the Shedd Aquarium, details at WGNRadio.com/toys. Presented by American Sale, bring the fun home for the holidays, and sponsored by Apple Chevrolet, Architect of Chicagoland, Hiltons of Chicago Dibs.com. That's all one thing there. Hiltons of Chicago Dibs.com and Sweet Ellie's Gluten Free Bakery. Really a cool, cool, cool event.
My parents already have a stack of toys that they're so proud of.
Really?
Yeah. In a nice little corner in the laundry room.
So if you can't make it to the show, and really there are no excuses, but you can drop off toys at Apple Chevrolet, 8585 West 159th Street in Tinley Park, because they have their Chevy Silverados out. And they've got them. They've already stacked. There's two almost full Silverado flatbeds, or beds, I guess. Is that what you call it?
I don't know. Truck
pickup
beds.
Truck beds. Thank you. See, that's good. See, Kevin was like, I don't know. What do you call that thing? Filled with toys, which is a super, super cool. And thank you so much for everybody who has done that. It is an amazing thing. And an important thing to note here is that these toys stay in the Chicago area. They are not being shipped all over the country. They actually are distributed throughout the Chicago, the city of Chicago, the suburbs of Chicago, and Northwest Indiana as well. Because the Marine Corps reserves units, there's one down in Joliet. Some of those are off. Some of the toys that we collect go down there as well. And if there's a need somewhere else in the area, that's where they go. And then they're distributed sometimes directly to families, but mostly to organizations, churches, other charitable organizations that are responsible for delivering toys. It's a really, really, really cool program. And if you want to make a cash donation, you can do that. You can either bring a check or cash to Apple Chevrolet. They'll take care of it. They'll make sure it gets there. John Alfirovich, very honorable guy. You don't have to worry about that. We'll also have the Marines at the event with us on December 6th. So you can give that directly to whoever the guy with the most stripes has, you know, on his shoulders has, on his arms. And they're gigantic arms, generally.
Mm-hmm. Don't be intimidated.
Right. So whoever, when you see the stripes, just whoever's got the most. I know there's one who's going to have five stripes. I think there's going to be a six-stripe guy there, too.
Wow.
So look at, there's three on the top, and then count the ones on the bottom.
Is that how stripes work?
That's how they work. Oh. So you get a master sergeant, gunnery sergeant, or staff sergeant, gunnery sergeant, master sergeant, and one, two, three. So you have all of those options. Hand the check, hand the money to one of those folks, and that goes, and this is a super cool program, that goes to, there's a group of military spouses that are given the cash, and they have a deal at Walmart. They go to the Walmart, and then they clean out the toy aisles at Walmart.
That's great.
With, you know, the accumulated bankroll. And then that goes directly back to the toys, and then they're distributed that way.
Yeah, so if you don't know what to get or can't decide between My Little Pony and, like, Legos, it's a perfect idea.
I always wanted to go and be on that, you know, on that shopping trip. But they don't let me do that.
That would be pretty cool.
Yeah, where you get to just choose. I mean, it's cool right now. Like, every time I go, I generally go the night before this event, mm-hmm. and I go and I get a bunch of stuff, and it is fun.
Oh, yeah.
It feels so good that you're giving it to somebody else. Right.
You kind of have, like, recollections of when you were a kid and got to open your toys, because you eventually got to that age where you never got toys anymore.
Right.
You were sad.
Yes. And if I were doing this myself, what would I want? Right? If this were for me as an 8-year-old, what would I want?
Or what looks super cool, because toys are just crazy these days.
Right. And games are mm-hmm. just as acceptable. As a matter of fact, one of the things that they found is that there's a lot of toys for little kids that get bought. Mm-hmm. It's the big kid toys that are better.
Okay, I was going to ask, what should I be targeting here? Because
video games are excellent.
Okay.
Obviously, so like sporting equipment.
Like younger teens, kind of.
Yeah, well, I mean, all the way up to, I mean, they serve basically to like 13, 14.
Okay. Right?
Yeah. So like the tween.
I might target area. That.
Yeah.
I'm still saying Legos. You can never go wrong with Legos. Oh, I still love Legos.
I can go wrong with Legos. I could step on them, so I can go wrong with Legos.
But that's not how you play with them, Ro.
Okay. So that is, it's such a cool, the whole thing is really a, it's just an amazing moment for these kids. And I was just with a gunnery sergeant who's going to be with us next Friday. And he was telling me a story about that. This goes back to a woman who came and handed a toy to them at a similar kind of an event. And she told the story about how she had received a toy from a Marine when she was a kid, and it changed her life. Because she was in a foster home situation. Nobody was paying attention to her. And she just remembers this Marine in uniform with the white cover on mm-hmm. and the whole thing, handing her a toy at an outdoor event. And it just changed everything. And so you can change a life by doing this. Just one way to look at it. Or many lives, depending on how many toys you bring. So I suggest the lives you will change by number of toys that you bring. I think that's the way to look at that. And again, that is next Friday, a week from Friday, at the Tinley Park Convention Center. Be there. Show starts at 3. All right, let's check in now with Lauren Lapko. What's happening on the roads and the skies? It's the Rokan Show right here on 720 WGN Chicago, in case anybody asks. Ryan Burrow is joining us right now from WGN Radio and ABC News, and he's covering the what the hell that is going to be the aviation system and the roadways this upcoming Thanksgiving weekend, because we got two big storms, including, I think they're calling this another one of those bomb things.
Yeah, yeah, this is going to be a thing. Let's start in Denver today. They received almost a foot of snow on the ground. It had almost 500 flights canceled, so all the people trying to get in and out of Denver, which is a hub, had some issues. Tomorrow, we know that travel vouchers are being issued in Minneapolis-St. Paul because they're supposed to get a foot of snow, and the roads, if you're heading up, by the way, to Minnesota, get up there as soon as you can tonight, because tomorrow is going to be an absolute disaster. Northern Wisconsin as well. And then, of course, we're going to have the wind here. That's going to be the problem.
And that starts
here.
Now, right? Isn't that that's the
wind?
Like this
it's going to kick in. According to Demetrius, the high wind warning kicks in at 9 a.m. Okay. And it's going to roll all the way through to 6 p.m., which is like that peak flying time
tomorrow.
And remember, tomorrow is supposed to be the second busiest flying day of this whole span. I mean,
and Sunday being the
biggest, when there are going to be over 3 million people. And all it takes is one storm for that domino effect, you know, everyone coming through Chicago, coming to Chicago, flying out of Chicago.
Can we start with Sunday and then move our way back? Because Sunday is going to be a bad weather day too, they're assuming.
Yeah, yeah, they're saying that one's going to be a bad one. I know this time there's going to be another snowstorm moving across the Great Plains, and I believe Minneapolis is also in for that one. We might get rain, I believe, on Sunday. Yeah, don't quote me on that.
It's been raining every Sunday for the last 9 weeks.
I see rain and snow showers
here. Yeah,
Sunday. Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's been an emotional rain, but that's a separate issue.
Well, this time it's going to be on Thursday, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I know in this case, there are some people who are going to their in-laws for Thanksgiving who are going to, you know, and they have to go sleep in their former spouse's bedroom.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, or their spouse's bedroom, I should say, with the former bedroom. And, you know, the weather is always a great excuse to go, you know what? I think we should fly out on Saturday. Or Friday. Thanksgiving was great.
Sure. Or scrap the whole trip.
Yeah.
Yes, we got out of it. We don't have to take the flight.
Right. I mean, it's not the worst thing in the world. So Sunday, people should... people are already kind of keeping their eyes on tomorrow and Thursday. And on Thursday, too, there's a lot of people on the roads moving between homes, right?
Thursday would be a great day to fly, actually, because it's one of actually the days when there aren't as many people that are flying. So if you can hold off a day, if you are going to Minneapolis-St. Paul and you're like, well, maybe I hold off till Thanksgiving, that might be a better option for
Still
you.
Still might make it for
vouchers.
Dinner, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
It's a short flight, right?
So this is one of those bomb clouds. What do they call that thing? It's like a super bomb?
Yeah.
Bomb cyclone.
Bomb cyclone. Thank you, Lauren.
Yeah. Meteorologist in training.
Did you say urologist? All right.
That too, apparently.
There you go.
She's been diagnosing all of us. All right. So what is the situation for the roads here? Do we have an update in terms of tomorrow, right? It's going to be slick. And if you're heading to the East Coast, let's take that.
Are you driving a big rig? Because the winds could be an issue for those big rigs.
Right. But that wind for a big rig issue creates other issues for the littler cars.
Absolutely.
If you have a jackknife or something like that.
Absolutely,
right? That I-80, for some reason, that I-80 is the one that always
65. Gets... Indiana, too. Yeah, yeah. There's nothing that blocks that wind.
Yeah. It's really bad out there.
Yeah.
That's why all those windmills.
They're pretty
well, even a lighter SUV, especially if you have a bigger car, but you're not filling it with a bunch of stuff, you will get pushed around quite a bit. And then your arms get really sore.
And keep in mind, tomorrow is the day when INREX does its big, you know, volume multiplier. And they talk about you've got all the people leaving work early, and you've got all the people trying to get out of town, and you've got volume multipliers of 3 times the normal traffic flow. Mm-hmm. This starts tomorrow afternoon, right about now. So have a real good show tomorrow, because there's going to be a lot of people listening for a while.
Taking the train in tomorrow.
Yeah, that's for sure. It's really going to be.
It's, from the Northwest Burbs to downtown? No, thank you.
Yeah. No, this is going to be one of those, you can just tell the way that this has been setting up from Halloween on. This is going to be a tough weather situation for the next number of weeks, because we're in this cycle. We're not getting out of the cycle. It's windy. It's just it's just bad.
And huge volumes, because we're up 4% from last year, according to AAA. More than 50 million Americans are either going to be flying, taking the train, or driving more than 50 miles from their home over this week. So
why is that up
from last year. You know, people are feeling good about the economy these days. They're more willing to open up, spend a little more on gas, flights, hotels. They're feeling confident that their jobs are going to be there. So
Just a little more cheddar in the bank.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is. Gas prices are okay. Yeah,
I feel like they're cheaper at least than last year at this time.
They're actually steady from last year at this time. Hotel rates are kind of fluctuating. Some are up, some are down. Car rentals are a little bit higher. And airline flights are about the same as they were last year at this time. So
now the train, that's always an interesting thing.
Yep.
The Amtrak. Especially, that's an interesting thing, because it does get very full. Now, it's not just for the Amish around Thanksgiving. Right? I mean,
it's for the people afraid of flying. Right.
Right.
It's all the John Maddens of the world.
I do know of the story that this was Jesse Jackson's wife, Jesse Jackson Sr.'s wife, not Junior's wife. That's a whole other story. Mm-hmm. Jesse Jackson Sr.'s wife was sort of legendarily afraid of flying. And she was on, and remember, he was the shadow senator for the District of Columbia for a number of years in the 1980s. And she was taking a train back and forth because she didn't want to fly. She's an amazing woman, by the way. She is, I mean, if anybody who's ever met her, she is, you know, she is definitely his better and smarter half. I'm going to just tell you that right now. She would, and he'd be the first to admit it. But, so she was afraid to fly. The train derailed.
Oh, gosh.
She was not injured. As a matter of fact, I don't know that I don't think any severe injuries in it, but the thing derailed, right? I mean, what are the chances? You're afraid to fly and your train derails. Now what do you do?
My wife and I have always talked about taking the city of New Orleans down to New Orleans from Chicago, just like, you know, kick back, let the train. But then when you look at it, it takes like 16 hours. It's like I can drive it in, you know, nine.
You could fly it in 90 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I would try that for 2 hours.
There's something relaxing, though, about a train ride. I don't know what it is. Sometimes if I'm not driving, I just take it in from like Mount Prospect to downtown. You get 45 minutes of just thank you, bro. You get like 45 minutes to yourself, and it's great. You don't have to deal with traffic, people cutting you off on the Kennedy.
An hour is different than 18 hours, though, I think.
Right.
I think eventually, I think going there is a pleasure, but I think when you've got to go home from vacation, it's like I got an 18-hour train ride ahead of me.
I take a train.
Right.
Oh, look, cornfield.
Some guy with a cough three rows up, and he's coughing for 4 hours straight.
Right, a guy who's taking the train because he can't fly, if you know what I mean.
He's been flagged.
Right, exactly. So
don't let this guy on a flight, whatever you do.
There's a lot of cardboard luggage on board a train. I mean, I guess the bus is the next step, right? And the mega bus is the next step below that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Couple canines sniff those things.
Yeah, exactly.
Before you get out going, yeah.
All right. Thank you, Ryan.
Yep.
Appreciate it. Thank you for all of the bad news, because it was not particularly good.
There could not be a worse timing for these storms.
No, it really can't.
Really the worst timing. And in two major locations in the Midwest, Denver getting hit, like that's... It couldn't have been worse.
Right. And then it all heads east. Now, it's going to head a little north and east. Mm-hmm. So for our Canadian friends, it could be a tough Thanksgiving, but they don't celebrate Thanksgiving the same time we do. They have their own Thanksgiving.
Yeah, when do they celebrate?
October, I think. Because it's the same weather there as we have in November.
And they have snowmobiles.
Right. That's true. And I don't know what their Thanksgiving's all about. I know it's different than ours, but they call it that.
So what are they celebrating?
Independence from the United States, I suppose, that they never had to be part of us.
Right.
I don't know. Whatever it is, maybe it's the French and the. I don't know. I don't want to ask, because when you ask, the Canadian people are so friendly and so talkative. I don't want to ask because I'll still be listening to the answer 6 or 7 hours later.
We'll ask one of our Blackhawk hockey friends one of these days.
Jeff Garland, the great Jeff Garland, is going to be joining us coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. Also, Adam Hoge is going to be here. So we're going to make you laugh and make you cry all in the 4 o'clock hour. Stay tuned for that. And then coming up a little bit later on, Mr. Richard Roper will be here to tell you about movies that are coming out and streaming this weekend. All of that comes your way, but first...
You know who comes up to me all the time and tells me they love me, like I'm their favorite? Naked guys. If I'm at the gym, a naked guy will come up to me in the locker room and go, oh, I love Kirk, I love you, I love the Goldbergs, whatever. I think there should be a sign in every locker room that says, nudity permitted, but with a destination. You know, you're going to the shower naked. naked back to your locker room to get dressed. Naked! There's too many people in locker rooms just standing naked. There's always a hand on the hip. Wait for Jeff Garland to come to the locker room. Let him know how I feel.
That's Jeff Garland. He's got a Netflix special out called Our Man in Chicago. We shot it right here at the Park West over the summer.
Yes, I did, in June.
Yeah, and it was, and it's a ginormous success.
I guess.
Is that what
I don't want to say. Look, it's a success in my eyes because the special is representative of me. I captured lightning in a bottle that particular night in terms of doing what I wanted to do. So for me, it's a success because it's representative. Whether people watch it in droves, I got no control.
So as a guy who's been doing this for
37 years.
Yes. Yeah. So, yes. For almost four decades.
Yeah.
You know those nights. You know those nights where it's really working and nights where it's not working.
Yes.
And you know that feeling when you come off the stage, and you had that coming off the Park West stage?
I had that coming off the first show. I did two shows in one night.
Mm-hmm. And they edit those, right? That's how that goes for those specials?
No, but yes, but no. I did the first show, and I came off, and I said to my friend Matt Edgar, who was a comedian who opened for me that night, I said, I did it. I nailed it. I'm good. So the second show, I felt great. Second show went up, just let it loose, and my special is the second show.
Wow. Because you felt so relaxed.
Gotcha. Yes.
You already had one in the can.
Yeah, I was relaxed. I'm always relaxed. I'm extra relaxed when I'm on stage. I'm more relaxed on stage, even with cameras, than I am in real life. You know?
I know.
But, confirmed. Yeah. So I have to say it was very exciting. And then So it's 98% the second show.
How much of that, Jeff, when you're doing that, depends on the immediate reaction you're getting?
Everything depends on the reaction that I'm getting, because if I'm not having a joyous time, my show is not nearly as good. So with an audience that's great, it knocks the show up. It makes it better. You know, it sort of like feeds into it. But there are shows where I've come off and I felt like crap, and the audience goes, oh, that was good. Yeah, but I don't want to just be good. I want to be great every time.
It's a funny world to live in, right? Because it really is a symbiotic relationship between you and the audience.
But very much
there's
so.
There's no way to get that done if your audience is, for whatever reason, maybe it was raining outside.
Well, hold on. You know, you're making a great point, which is, all right, let's just even take raining outside. That alone affects people's moods. What was their day like? Are they in love? Are they not in love? Are they in unrequited love? Have they exercised? Are they eating right? Are they not eating right? Does their boss treat them with respect? They come in, and what's their DNA? They come in with all these things mixed together. Yeah. And so to me, it's like a roll of the dice as to how good an audience can be.
Sometimes it's one, right? Sometimes there's one person who's a leader in the audience. If you get the right laugh, and then everybody goes,
by the way, that can help make a difference. Most definitely. You don't know. It's truly every time you go to work, you don't know what's on the other side of the door.
That is really true.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's interesting. You hear Broadway performers talk about that. If it's, you know, terrible cold day, and they're going to have wet Minnesotans sitting in the audience feel the whole time.
Well, you know what's interesting is I've seen this with movies, but I've seen it on Broadway, specifically with the show The Producers. I saw the producers because we did a curb thing with the producers, and then I had a friend, Richard Kind, who starred in The Producers for a while. I saw The Producers a half dozen times, once in L.A., five times in New York, different periods during the run. Mm. And the audience is totally different based on when the run is. Early in the run, you have people laughing at subtleties. Late in the run, big jokes only.
Wow.
It's fascinating.
Ticket price.
What's that?
It's like desire to be there, too.
But it's also someone who's a fan.
Right.
You know,
right?
There are nights where I go up at the Comedy Store, and I know the audience is made up of people. It's Saturday night, we're going out, and this is the thing to do, as opposed to going up and you know the audience is comedy fans. And that is exciting.
Interesting.
Jeff Garland is with us. We'll be right back with him. He's got a comedy special on Netflix, Our Man in Chicago, shot right here at the Park West in Chicago. You got to see it. Download it tonight. First, Lauren Lapko, what's happening in the skies and
what's happening, Lauren?
It's an annual tradition like no other. Join WGN Morning News, Dan Ponce, Lauren Chiggetts, and Sarah Jindra for Chicago's Thanksgiving Parade. Thanksgiving morning starting at 8 on WGN TV.
No, you know what's amazing there? How old are you?
30.
30. You see a guy with a voice like that at 30, I can see you doing it at 60. Like you say, you know what I'm saying, Chicago? Yep. Like, look, I want you to be employed and do whatever you want to do. Right. But you have got that voice that, like, you could do a farm report someday.
That's true. And it is at the right place for it,
yes,
too.
Yes, I know.
Thank you.
Yes.
I believe all that was a compliment from Jeff.
No, it very much
okay.
was.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, because you're a young guy, but you got that voice.
Exactly.
But the young guy version.
You believe
of that
him.
Voice. Yeah.
Whatever he tells you.
Yeah, that's right.
I now know that Northwestern won their first game. Now they're going against Pitt. I believe that's happening for real. I know it's going to happen.
And the Dallas Kevin Stars Powell. Are red hot. They've won seven straight.
After that one By 7-1 way, start. Jeez.
I think that the Chicago Bears, I only thought of this yesterday, watch their highlights with curb music.
You have just you know what, the press conferences with curb music.
Yeah.
When Mitchell Trubisky's up at the podium or Matt Nagy, there we go, we have an assignment.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Why has nobody asked him about the mustache?
Well, it's Movember. These guys are doing it for
I only think of him with a mustache.
You're talking about Trubisky.
Yeah, it's a bad look for him.
It's a bad look for anyone.
He's trying to get rid of baby face, and it's really not working.
No.
It's like Godfather 1, right? You remember like all the when they went back to Sicily, and there's all those guys with the mustaches?
Yes.
Like, that doesn't look right on a 14-year-old.
He also looks a little bit like every ESPN 30 for 30 about a lacrosse team that got into some trouble. You know what I mean?
He looks like that, yeah.
Whether, you know, not saying anybody's guilty. A lot of times they're exonerated.
Why is it always a lacrosse team? Yeah. Lacrosse is trouble. You walk by a practice field at a local college, and there's lacrosse going on, just know it's trouble.
Right. Bro culture.
It's trouble. Right.
And the goalie's always standing there in like Timberland boots instead of actual shoes.
The lacrosse goalie does not get enough credit. They have minimal padding, and these guys are slinging the lacrosse.
Firing squad every time.
They're like the
Trump of the team. Yeah, they're just, you know, you go play goalie. I have a question for Jeff Garland, though.
Yes.
I have a wardrobe question for him.
Yes, sir.
He doesn't get asked a lot of wardrobe questions, but I feel like between Goldberg's and Curb, it's actually the same wardrobe. It's just that you have the underwear for one show, and then you put the suit on. Are those separate wardrobes for you?
Yeah, they're completely separate.
I feel like they don't need to be, even though we're talking about different
types. No, I don't wear a suit on the Goldbergs.
Well, sometimes, no, that's what I'm saying. You don't wear anything. You're in your tiny
whitey.
I'm
in underwear
whitey,
a lot,
so, yeah,
but I generally wear khakis, a t-shirt, and some sort of button-down on the Goldbergs, which I love. Cotton, all delightful. And then on Curb, I wear nice suits.
You gotta be, you're a manager.
That's true.
You're a manager there. I was just wondering if it's the same underwear underneath the suit.
Because the underwear for the Goldbergs is special underwear.
Special.
It is. There's like three layers to it.
I was wondering about that.
Well, they don't want to see any movement.
You know, the thing about your...
They don't. By the way, that's not even a joke on my part.
No, I believe that.
The woman from Censors, the Censor Department will come into our editing room and point at me and go, I see movement. I see shadows. Those are the two that she says.
I believe movement and shadows.
But that's film, isn't it? Movement and shadows.
Yeah.
From your upcoming tone.
From Dark Shadows, yeah.
You, as playing Jeff Green on Curb Your Enthusiasm...
Yes, sir.
You are the perfect entertainment manager.
Yes.
The perfect. You have got it nailed. Anybody who has ever been in entertainment, anybody who's ever had an agent or a manager, that you're all of it.
Right.
They will tell you exactly what you want to know and not what your boss has just told them they should tell you. Right.
Exactly.
It's like the perfect, perfect thing.
Yes.
You got another season coming up here, right?
Yeah. January 19th.
Wow.
And it's my favorite season we've ever done.
You told us that in June.
About this coming season. Yes. I was about to say, I didn't say it about another season. Yeah, because the premise is so great. I love the premise.
Right, it's like all of these are around a central thing.
Yes, but this is such a simple premise that everybody has thought, I'd like to, and then Larry does.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. That's saying a lot because the various seasons have had amazing arcs.
Well, this arc is my favorite.
Really? No kidding.
By far. It's hilarious.
Wow.
Yeah.
It is. It's as sitcoms go, and it's very, I mean, listen, you now have been involved in two of the most successful sitcoms in television.
Yes.
You stop and you think about it.
I have stopped, and I have thought briefly.
How does it make you feel?
It makes me feel good. It's nice. It's really nice. I'm really happy that I'm making a lot of people happy. I'm easing the pain, making people laugh, bringing some joy. It's good in this world, and I'm real happy about
definitely.
That.
With the Goldbergs, it's funny because you had to fight against convention there, right? Because it's very easy.
I didn't have to fight to do anything.
You didn't?
Nope.
They let you do whatever you wanted because that's
no,
a very
I have
smart
to learn
show.
My lines. I'm the Spencer Tracy school of acting. Know your lines and don't bump it into the furniture.
Right,
that's it.
No, I
don't think
that.
About it.
But in terms of the way that's a show that is smart. It's not a. There's a lot of sitcoms on commercial television that don't live up to that. Mm-hmm. That sort of expectation. You're in that Wonder Years kind of expectation.
It's
right?
very nice to be there.
Yeah,
but I take no credit for it. I just do my job.
Okay, and you're not bumping into the furniture. Although you might be staining it in your underwear.
I'm not
three layers.
Why would you go there?
Three layers.
Staying. Yes, there's no stains.
I'm desperate.
I'm a clean gentleman.
When Jeff was here last time, I had just joined Cameo.
I made fun of you.
Yes, and you said
and I said it was so desperate on your part.
Yes, and you the Cameo's that app where you can go and you can ask celebrities.
Right,
and I'm using that term very loosely
because
that was a personalized greeting for yourself or family member or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it did. I had a very low quote on when because
35 bucks, I'm guessing
something like that. My friend of mine asked me to join, who is a former rock star, and he's like, okay,
Richard Marx.
No, not him.
I was just guessing.
But thank you. Matt Devine from Kill Hannah, who is apparently was like a talent recruiter for them. And he said, you know, come on, it'll be great. And you start here and you go there and it's the money. And so I thought, all right. So it was a weak moment. I did it. A week later, Jeff is in studio. And Jeff says to me, oh, my God, you're on Cameo. And then you tell the story about going and actually buying people's cameos.
Like, I buy them, yes.
And you have to read what's written. Right in the message, and you wrote the most ridiculous things for people just to
What's the name? Kaplan from
Dave Kaplan.
Dave Kaplan. I would send him stuff like, "My grandma's afraid of steak. What do I do?" She also was kind of afraid of chicken, and then I go, "Can you please talk some sense to her?" And then I've got him on camera going, "Grandma, don't be afraid of steak. It's delicious. Chicken is good too."
That's
it's just
amazing.
Like, and by the way, he's like $20, $25. It was well worth it.
For
and
your
then I,
amusement.
And I sent Ruth Buzzy to my ex-wife.
Oh my God.
Ruth Buzzy.
Oh God.
Who, by the way, every time you purchase her, she explains who she is in the video. Which, if you're buying Ruth Buzzy, you know.
In 1967.
I bought a male porn star for one of my son's friends.
Oh my God.
It was really, you know, it's really fun to purchase, but to be on the side where you're making the things, that's embarrassing.
Yes. Well, so I raised my quote to $500, and the money goes straight to the Chicago Police Memorial Foundation.
Well, that's great. How many have you sold?
None.
But see, that's the point. You don't want to do it.
Yeah.
And if you're
the
going
money goes to the right thing.
That, by the way, that's delightful. My price would be $50,000.
Just do one. Just get one guy.
There will be some guy.
But I don't want to be on there.
You know there's going to be guys.
I told them. They asked me. They send me a note all the time, please. And I finally had to write a note telling them that I thought it was embarrassing, that it's the low point of your life, and that I love purchasing them, though.
But yeah, I'm a big fan.
Love purchasing.
You know, some
that's amazing.
Saudi royal family member is going to buy you for $50,000. He's going to make you say awful things. I can just
I'll
feel
go
this right
to
now.
Some place and do stand up for $50,000. Actually, no, I won't.
Not anymore.
Country.
Not after the Netflix special, which is of course is now available on Netflix.
Yeah.
Jeff Garland, Our Man in Chicago, shot last June.
Yeah.
Right here at the Park West.
Yes.
In one of your favorite rooms. I've seen you a number of times.
I have performed there many times. I was actually married in the Park West. I was the first ever wedding.
Okay.
In
now
Park
you said
West.
You never feel comfortable unless you're on stage.
Yeah.
So there you are on stage at the Park West.
I feel comfortable, but I'm most comfortable on stage.
I understand that.
Yeah.
What that day that you got married?
Yes.
Were you comfortable or uncomfortable on that stage?
I was numb to it all. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was actually a joyous wedding, and I was happy, but not as comfortable as stand-up.
Yeah, I know the feeling.
And also, no, I had a rabbi who thought he was funny. There were a lot of famous comedians. There were a lot of famous comedians there, and he was playing to them. And
Richard Lewis?
What's that?
Richard Lewis?
Stop. Just naming names. But It was. Yeah, I look back on that day fondly, though.
Okay,
I do. I'm not in a bitter divorce. I love my ex-wife. She hates when I say that, but it's like Larry David. When I say Larry David's a nice guy, he's like, "Why do you tell people?"
Jeff Garlin, Our Man in Chicago, available on Netflix right now. Thanks for being here.
Hey, always my honor.
All right, we got the news coming your way from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom too. All right, that's us. It's the Rokan Show right here, 720 WGN. I must tell you that I am not looking forward to Thursday morning the same way I was at the beginning of the season. You know, when you stop and you think about what it's going to be like Thursday morning, Thanksgiving morning, you get up, it's an 11:30 kick, I think, for the Chicago Bears, is it not?
Yep.
And you see that graphic with the teams that look like they're already in. Maybe have an X or a Y next to their names, right. Like, you know.
I love how last night on Monday Night Football, they put the in the hunt column, yeah. And they look at the playoff picture, and they continue to put teams you don't have no chance.
They do the math.
Right, because like, all right, let's hit these demos, keep them interested for a few more weeks.
Was Chicago in the hunt?
They put the Bears there.
If they won out, the math could play in
your
way,
your
right?
Son team's colleague, Mark Potash, put out some scenarios. He goes, the playoff picture's still here, and he put the whole graph together, and he goes, if all this falls into place, sure. And there's a lot of ifs and what's and nuts.
Oh, my God.
I screen grabbed it, started sending it to my friends. I'm like, are the Bears back? And they're like, damn it, I gave up on the season, and now I'm going to torture myself for the next few weeks.
You know, Green Bay did lose on Sunday night, Adam Hogue.
There we go.
How close are we?
I'm here, guys.
Yes.
There he is.
Hello. Now, you're the Bears insider. You spend a lot of time in Howell's Hall. You're around the team all the time. Would you say that the Bears still have a chance?
Technically, yes.
He used the word technically. Yeah. That's the biggest dodge ever.
No, because here's mathematically they do. Mm-hmm. And over the next 4 weeks, if the Bears went 4-0 and the Vikings went 2-2, then that would come down to that Week 17 game in Minnesota when you play the Vikings. So there's road a trip. Scenario there where it's possible. My problem is I just don't see this offense doing nearly enough to win the next four games to even create that scenario.
I mean, they scored 19 points off one of the worst defenses, and some of those points came off of a drive starting at, what, the 3-yard line after the Mac strip sack, or 13-yard line, whatever it was. Yeah. So it's not like that was a big multi-play drive. The offense,
they needed three plays to do it, too.
Right.
Mm-hmm. No, that
two-point conversion issue. Now, I think that's a ticky-tack call. And that was, wasn't that the head official in that crew was Ed Hockley's kid, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Sean Hockley.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sean Hockley, who I always call him Hockley's because I think of Hercules.
Hockley's.
But Hockley's. Ed Hockley was the guy who, at 60 years old, looked like he could kill you with his pinky. He had the gigantic biceps.
He did curls at halftime.
Right. He was like this. He was always the best shaped guy. And I always thought it was like in his 30s, and now he's got a kid who looks just like he looked, who's doing it because I think he retired, right?
Yes, Ed Hockley has retired.
Yeah, he did the Super Bowl, and then he was done. And you know, because those guys, that's the biggest of the big when you get to go do that, right? And he'd done it a number of times, but when the last time he was, I'm done, and he hands it over. That's a family business to be an official in the NFL.
Yeah, sure, why not?
That's a weird deal.
You learn all the rules from your dad,
right? Yeah. Well, and you learn all the hand signals.
You watch the game a very different way. You know, growing up, you're like, offsides, dad caught it. Yes.
Good call.
Exactly.
You mentioned that 2-point play, and this game, the past game, I just kept. There were so many moments where I said to myself, "That sums up the season right there." There were multiple "that sums up the season" moments throughout the game. Matt Nagy decides to go for two. They don't have the right personnel. Then they have to call a timeout. Then there's a penalty, and then Pinheiro misses a PAT. I mean, that guy does sum up the entire. Just complete miscommunication, a kicker miss, dumb plays.
I think there was a run on a 3-and-10 at some point, too.
Yeah.
They did. They ran it right up the middle on like a
third
and 9 or something.
It's gotten to the point where you just laugh instead of yell because you're like, yep.
At one point in that game, it was getting to the point where, like, okay, this season's just turning into to fun bad. Like, let's just see how bad this team could get over the next five games.
I want to get your thoughts on this on the other side because Lauren's not working hard enough. And Jeff Garlin actually shared a microphone with her for a moment. It was like a
co-traffic reporters.
Yeah,
for that
quite. He was smelling her hair. I thought that was weird, okay. But you know,
I thought he was trying to eat the mic. Actually,
yeah, it was kind of an interesting thing. He's got minty breath though. Isn't that a nice thing?
I was not breathing at the moment.
Yeah.
I'll take your word for it.
All right. So I want to ask you this, though, Adam Hoge. Are we going down the wrong road with Tariq Cohen? I have a theory about this, and I'll share it with you on the other side. But first, Lauren tells us what's happening on the roads and in the skies. It's the Rokan Show right here on 720 WGN. All right. Back to Adam Hoge, our Bears insider. And I was asking this question right before we took the break. Tariq Cohen.
Yeah,
I get the sense that Tariq Cohen is not the offensive threat that we thought he was.
Well, I do think that they've struggled to get him the ball more this year. Here's the way I like to put it, because Matt Nagy wanted him to be his Tyreek Hill, and he's not Tyreek Hill. He's just not. He's not as good of a downfield pass catching option. And it seems like every time he catches the ball now, he's getting 0 or 1 yard and running out of bounds. Doesn't it seem like that every time he catches the ball? So that's been one of the many issues on offense this year.
I was going to ask you about that, Adam, about the, because not only with Tariq, but it seems like so many of the Bears' plays are designed. Listen, if you're Drew Brees, you can hit that receiver when he's got 1 foot to get down and then the other foot. But it seems like so many plays either result in a short gain and then they're out of bounds, or the pass going out of bounds.
Yeah, well, it's been all year. It's like this is more of a horizontal passing attack instead of a downfield passing attack. They finally have opened the door a little bit to some explosive plays downfield the last couple, at least against the Lions a few weeks ago, and then against the Giants on Sunday. So I think they're getting there. I think Mitch is actually improving over these last 3 weeks. But, I mean, we're still talking about – we're comparing it to what he was earlier this year.
Well, part of it is the offensive scheme, too, right?
Absolutely.
So the Tariq Cohen thing, I think we got sold a bill of goods with that video where he does a backflip and catches two balls simultaneously in both hands while he's backflipping. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many takes that took, but – It's very impressive. So for the draft, everybody thought, oh, well, this is the best athlete available, so that makes sense. Mm-hmm. But then they decide they're going to run him up the middle. And it's basically like, to me, it's like catching a three-year-old who's running away from the dinner table. It's like, yeah. That's what happens.
I mean, that's like last year we saw flashes from him when he was put in the proper position. I mean, if you give him space, he is going to make plays. But
well, that's where can I defend him real quick for a second?
Yeah, because I don't think it's more on the play calling. If you ask me,
it's well. Here's one of the biggest problems. It's not his fault. He's 5'6". Okay, he's one of the smallest players.
I am not vertical shaming.
I know, but so what I'm saying though is he, even though he's fast and he's a good route runner, he doesn't have a huge catch radius around him. He needs to be pretty open to get him the ball because he's only 5'6". So what'd you see last year? Do you remember the playoff game and how the reason why it was such a big deal that Trey Burton was a late scratch and did not play? The reason it was such a big deal in the playoff game last year against the Eagles was because the Eagles shifted all their attention and took safety Malcolm Jenkins and put him out in Tariq Cohen and eliminated him from the game. So what has happened this season? Trey Burton and the tight ends have been invisible all year long. So the attention has been to Tariq Cohen, and when he's on the field, they're able to remove him from the game. So it's sort of that trickle-down effect that's killing them offensively.
We'll give one tip of the cap to Allen Robinson, who's just completely been outstanding this entire season. And if you look at his numbers are good, all things considered, what this offense has been, it's pretty impressive what he's done.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, especially because, the statistics, the offensive output has been, atrocious all season long as a team. So the fact he's still putting up good numbers is pretty impressive. And then, you look at some of these games, he's really only been taken out of, the Eagles eliminated him pretty well. And then the Rams did a pretty good job against him, too. But
well, the Rams have a shutdown corner, right?
Exactly. I was going to say, and the Eagles... The Eagles did more of a group effort because their secondary is actually bad, but they just said, hey, look, we're going to take your best player out, and in some would argue the only player, and it worked.
some would, as a matter of fact, their coaching staff argued that, and they won that argument.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the thing. I wonder, it just seems to me like they need a play-calling offensive coordinator. They need somebody to put new eyes on the offensive scheme, given the talent mix that they've got, especially if they're going to stick with Mitch Trubisky next year. Unless they bring somebody in to compete for the job, and I don't, who knows what that all looks like. There's a line of people, I believe that Colin Kaepernick is at the very end of that line. No one's calling him. We'll talk about that in a second. Let's talk about Thursday morning, though.
Yeah.
This is kind of a winnable game.
Absolutely, it's a winnable
game. Lions are horrible.
You beat this team a few weeks ago. They might be down to their third-string quarterback, although Chuck Pagano said today that they looked into Jeff Driscoll's hamstring injury, and they don't think it's that big of a deal. They think Jeff Driscoll's going to play. But you saw him a couple weeks ago and you beat him. He's obviously not Matthew Stafford. The one thing I worry about, though, is this Lions defense isn't good, but I think they're going to play better at home on Thanksgiving than they did at Soldier Field a few weeks ago. And if they play better at all, the Bears already have had some issues. I'm really worried about this game actually Thursday. I think the Lions are actually going to win.
That will eliminate the Bears statistically from
then the playoff. They won't be in the hunt. They'll be out of the hunt.
Outside looking into the hunt.
Yeah.
What are they going to do at tight end? Ben Broniker's in concussion protocol. I mean, you can't put a guy back in a game 3 days after he's... And so is Taylor Gabriel. Adam Shaheen remains out, and Trey Burton.
They're both not going to play.
Did you play tight end in high school?
Yeah, I could get out there for Coach Nagy. Yeah. All right. Well, you might have to play right tackle, too, and Gunner on special teams because Sherrick McManus is out, and linebacker, too.
Okay, I'm in. Put me in, Coach.
Oh, jeez. Wow, is this going to be the worst cleaning of the turkey ever?
This will be I think it's going to be an ugly game because these are two bad teams with a lot of injuries.
But to Adam's point, too, you know, the Lions, it is their home game, and they can fly around the field with nothing to lose. You know, and just come out there and say, I wouldn't be surprised if that happens.
It's one of the great traditions in sports is Detroit at home in the early game of the, for the last 70 years or something, they've been doing this.
The Lem Barney game was a highlight, I remember, when he was cornerback for the Lions back in the day.
Okay, thank you. God. So where are we going next year? What do we got? Anything? Nothing?
The playoffs next year, right?
Playoffs?
Yeah. I mean, I still think that week one next year, unless something just horrible, complete disaster over these last five games, I think Mitch Trubisky will be the week one starter. I think Matt Nagy will still be the head coach.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Matt Nagy. I don't know about Mitch Trubisky. Because I do think there are going to be some people who are going to come up. And
I think they're going to bring in competition for Mitch to push him in camp. And
will we do anything in the preseason this time?
I don't know if that would. If they practiced in the preseason, they'd still be where they're at.
Mm-hmm. Right, but Lauren's question is legit, because if you bring in competition, you have to play them in the preseason to see the competition. And so that,
yeah, Kev.
Lauren's got all the answers here.
All right, not enough. All right, Richard, get the board game out for that.
Here we go.
Yeah. Uncle Rich.
See, the Bears are bringing us apart on Thanksgiving. They should be bringing us together.
Oh, that's not what's going to bring us apart on Thanksgiving, my friend.
I know. I'm really worried about all Bears fans and Thanksgiving on Thursday. It might be a rough
little sloppy. Start open a beer at 11 o'clock in the morning.
You know. And you know there are Chicagoans who married people from Detroit, and they have to go to Detroit for their in-laws, and they're going to have to be sitting there at the table while the Detroit... I'm already giving this a loss as well. They're going to have to be sitting there listening to Detroit crow. And then at some point, after enough drinks, you go, "You guys stink too!
Take off that Panero jersey. What are you thinking?"
Panero jersey.
I did see a guy in a Panero jersey before last Sunday's game at a bar. I go, I don't know what that was all about.
It's his brother, Jimmy. Right. Jimmy Panero.
It's like, "Nice jersey, man." I don't know. He's trying to be like ironic or something. Are you just a huge fan of Eddie Panero?
That's a guy who lost a fantasy football bet, for sure.
All right. Well, enjoy yours. Are you going? You're not going to Detroit, right?
Yeah, I am.
Oh, God.
How's your flight situation? We got disastrous weather going on.
Yeah, I mean, I believe the flight's coming in from Wichita, so if you guys can look up Wichita, hopefully the plane gets here. I should be all right.
All right. Godspeed.
All right. Have fun. Have fun in Detroit.
Yeah, Thanksgiving in Detroit.
Yep, there you go.
All right.
Yeah, so what America always wants, you know, you just imagine what would Thanksgiving be over the hill and through the woods to grandmother's house we go, and you end up in Detroit on a river looking at Windsor going, doesn't that look pretty?
Yeah.
Is that more appealing? I don't know.
That's when people always tell, Kev knows this, the sports reporters, I envy you, the greatest job in the world. Yeah, okay, I'm waiting for a flight from Wichita to come in to go to a less glamorous locale on Thanksgiving.
Right. Exactly. That's exactly right. Well, we wish everybody the best of luck. Maybe Mitch will light him up, and maybe Mitch will just go on a tear, and the Bears will win out, and Green Bay losing Sunday night
Bite your tongue.
Now there's now there might be an opportunity. There may be a window there. If
Minnesota Rams losing.
Yep, the Rams. Right. There are scenarios. I just don't know what they are. I just don't. But we'll find out. Don't anybody
opportunity
move.
To get crushed by the Seahawks in the playoffs.
Northwestern Medicine Newsroom's hot right after this.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, three, two, one.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show, sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
All right, it is. Well,
oh my.
We may have to rework that. All right, here is a situation. We are in the top five at five, and we have worked our way up to
number five.
Chicago City Council has approved the mayor's $11.65 billion budget plan. Ooh. It was approved 39 to 11. Uh oh. Who are those 11?
Oh boy. The Chicago 11.
Yeah. Were they allowed
here
to?
We go.
Were they allowed to vote no on this?
Council Wars 2.
Yeah. 39 to 11, the $11.6 billion budget will close the record $838 million budget gap. There's a lot of numbers in here. Mm-hmm. I was told there would not be math. Now, there's going to be government restructuring. They're going to wipe out most city job vacancies. Lightfoot called her budget plan a down payment and a major step in a long journey to improve the city's economic plan and its health. There's criticism, though. It doesn't deliver enough mental health services or raise taxes on the wealthy and corporations. And Mayor Lightfoot says, blank you.
We're one day past the 32nd anniversary of the death of Harold Washington. I remember that time very well. This is a mayor who had overcame great odds to get elected in the first place. And then when he got elected, had to overcome great odds just to be able to basically move his agenda and the city forward. And then, as we know, got reelected a second time and then died an untimely death. Throughout his entire time as mayor, not only were there critics in the city council, there were also critics on the left who said he wasn't progressive enough, he didn't move fast enough, he didn't do things in the way that they wanted him to do. So there are always going to be critics. But what I know is we needed 26 votes and we got 39. By my estimation, and my math is not the greatest, we got a supermajority of the city council, and I think it's a great day to celebrate.
There you go. Well, I don't know about the celebrating part, but it's a great day to. I don't know what it's a great day for.
That's a step forward, and she's right. No matter what, she's not going to win. Someone's going to argue about something.
And it is a demonstration that she has the city council backing. Far more than enough votes than she needs, and she can wield her power.
Right.
She's Mayor Lightfoot. Don't forget it.
Turn on the light, man.
Because it still sounds like she's from a DC Comics. That's a great. That is a great comic book name, Mayor Lightfoot. I'm a fan.
All right, thank you. All right, well, she did. She got the votes. She got the thing done.
Yeah.
It's the 1 year, and we'll just have to see where
it
goes.
Happens. Yeah,
I know. And the thing is that you always do have those people going, well, just tax the rich; it'll be fine. And then the rich move out of town, and then they move their businesses out of town, and then you got another problem. We've seen that. We were just talking about Detroit, and that what a horrifying fate it is for the sports reporters that they have to spend Thanksgiving in Detroit. They can come back and tell you. They can explain what goes on when that happens, when you go into that death spiral, and we just don't want to be that.
No.
So let's see how this is as far. I'm not criticizing her, and I'm glad that she brought up the Harold Washington thing, because she's right about that.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a revolutionary moment in Chicago history. And he did die in he basically ate himself to death. It's sad but true. He had just the weekend before he died. He died on a Wednesday, going into Thanksgiving, and he had gone to a restaurant on the north side, to a Southern European restaurant on the north side, and he ended up eating half the menu on that Sunday with a reporter who was there.
Remember reporters of the time saying that in the weeks leading to his death that he couldn't catch his breath. You know, that it was clear that he needed
to
do something.
And he didn't go to a doctor.
Unfortunately,
and he collapsed at his desk. Yeah. All right, we will. That's a happy Thanksgiving story right there. Yeah. All right, let us now check in with Lauren Lapka. What's happening on the roads and the skies? Ah, thank you. It's the Rokon Show right here on 720 WGN and checking in the top five at
number four.
See, I got that one right. Papa John. You know this story? John Schnatter, yeah. Papa John, founder of Papa John's, was, you know, had a pizza dream, wanted to do a pizza. I think he did this in one of the commercials. And now he's an international. Papa John's is an international sensation. They love it in China. Yeah. He's been fired from his company because on a conference call in which they were talking about racial diversity, he used the N-word. Now, he says he's been conspired against because he used the N-word, he says, to show how bad it is. Well, he quoted another famous founder when he's setting up his defense.
Well, the conference call was taped. It was secretly taped. That's good for me because I didn't say anything that was racist. Sooner or later, the tape's going to come out in public and people are going to go, wow, that's what he said. So that's what he said. And they're going, they made this out of that. They know what they did. They know it was a setup. They know this in things, an entire farce. They wanted to get rid of me because they were watching that $150 million a year in profit. So they wanted, you know, they wanted the money, which is, you know, a motivator. And they thought they could run the business better without me. When it finally gets out what they did and what was said, I think I'm going to get, my phone's going to ring off the hook going, wow, we made a huge mistake here.
Now, he says that he still loves the company that he built.
I feel so negative and pessimistic about the company that I've sold a lot of stock. I've probably had over 40 pizzas, 40, in the last 30 days. It's, they don't make the pizza the way that I used to make it, the way we used to make it. It just doesn't taste the same.
Is that true?
Maybe they know who they're delivering to.
Papa Jim, five pepperonis.
I think when he said his phone was ringing off the hook, I wonder by instinct he just goes, hi, Papa John's, can I help you?
What's your order? I don't know, man. I would be interested in hearing that take. Because that's an interesting, I mean,
the
first of all,
he was saying you can't ever use this word. He was, but he said the word, saying,
right.
you know, wasn't using it to describe anyone.
I mean, right. It is contextual. It's very, you have, the problem in the world, and it's not really a problem, it's just a reality of the world, that white people, non-African-American people, can only use that word in the tightest of circumstances. Mm. Right? In almost an historical description.
Or like a courtroom testimony. What did the defendant say? And
right.
You're asking someone under oath to say what the defendant said. Things like that, where it is. Yeah, you're right.
And I do understand there's a lot of people that, well, there's a double standard. How come African Americans can say that word?
Oh.
Well, I think that sort of explains itself, but however that goes, Papa John, probably not. I would like to hear the tape. All right, I'll hold out, Papa John, and I'll also hold the onions.
Oh my gosh!
I mean, will like the pepperoni,
extra garlic sauce though.
I love it. Number three.
That's right. Tina Turner turns 80 today. Does that make you feel young or old? Old. In her recent memoir, My Love Story, Turner revealed that she suffered a stroke in 2013, and now she's all better, but she released a video for her fans.
Yes, I'm 80. What did I think? How did I think I would be at 80? Not like this. Oh, well, I look great. I feel good. I've gone through some very serious sicknesses that I'm overcoming. So it's like having a second chance at life. I'm happy to be an 80-year-old woman.
She does look really good, by the way. I don't know if you saw that video.
Yeah. It sounds great. Nice and clear. It sounds good.
Yeah.
She is something. And she, obviously, you know, her life story has been told a lot of different ways. But I think there's one more telling of it that takes you through the entire arc. Because she would be an excellent like The Crown.
With the long form series, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Takes you through different stages of Queen Elizabeth's life. You go through the different stages of Tina Turner's life, and it's fascinating. Every single one of those bizarre turn that would have probably taken any lesser artist or human out of the picture, and she stayed in. Really amazing.
Fantastic.
80 years old. Tina Turner.
Number two.
After getting some feedback on their maternity wear, the women anchoring from 4 to 6 in the morning on the WGN Morning News decided to get their revenge. with the viewers who had sent in the suggestions of what they should and should not be wearing. Morgan Kolkmeyer, Lauren Jiggett, Sarah Jindra read some of the negative comments that they've received about their fashion choices while they were pregnant.
Please tell the weather girl to get some maternity dresses. She's so pretty, but wearing regular dresses at this stage in pregnancy looks so trashy.
Love your work, but you need to wear clothing that fits you this trimester. Some of those dresses look terrible, especially when you turn to the side or the camera gets your very wide butt. Sorry, don't want to be mean, just honest. And dear God, please, if nothing else, let the pregnant ladies wear something looser. This is not just my observation or opinion. Most of my friends and family feel the same way and are the butt of many of our jokes.
How much does your life have to suck to send in negative comments to pregnant women on TV? How bad is your life?
No doubt from perfect physical specimens at 4 in the morning who are watching this.
These women are very good at their job, and they're very nice people.
They're wonderful. And they all look great when they're pregnant on that show. Shut up, tweeters.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Why?
Some of these people seem to think, I didn't realize when you were pregnant the baby would be inside you and growing. I find this very disconcerting.
I also love the, I don't mean to be mean. Yes, you do. Yeah.
When
yes, you
told
do.
Us you were going to be pregnant, we didn't think like pregnant, pregnant. You were gonna be, yeah. We thought TV for 9 months? At a different pregnancy.
How long was it going to take?
I just want to know, what kind of Thanksgiving are those people going to have?
Oh my God.
As they're sitting around and discussing Morgan Kolkmeyer's baby bump.
Some of these, some
Grandma,
of these.
I don't like those glasses. They make your eyeballs look gross and big. And not to be mean, but you know, I just thought you should know.
You know, some of those emailers are like our tweeters. If I ever do have sex and my wife or girlfriend or if I ever get one, I'll get her the right clothes.
Now, most of them are from women. That's the funny thing.
A lot of
that.
Women are very mean.
Yeah.
Very mean.
So, I mean, it's weird. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm going to find out if my mother actually did this. I got to check.
Sent from Roe's mother.
Right, exactly.
My son works in your business, and I think you shouldn't be pregnant. I don't like his show either, though.
I swear to God, I'm not kidding. The Top 5 at 5 theme just started. My mother called me.
I saw that. I can verify.
Are you busy?
Right.
No. Like,
just no idea.
I love that,
what's
right?
What's going on here? Yeah. Okay. Well, it is what it is. All right. And finally,
number one,
bread and butter. Two large turkeys raised on the Jackson farm in North Carolina took over the White House lawn today in the annual turkey pardon.
Is that a live soundbite?
Yes, that is. That's actually
final
a
soundbite.
That's a quote. That's a quote from bread.
That's bread.
Yeah, that's bread.
Yeah, it's more articulate.
Mm-hmm. Oh no, that's butter.
Ah,
That was butter. The photo op did not appear to phase the foul, but the president, however, had this to say.
Thankfully, bread and butter have been specially raised by the Jacksons to remain calm under any condition, which will be very important because they've already received subpoenas to appear in Adam Schiff's basement on Thursday. Hundreds of people have. It seems the Democrats are accusing me of being too soft on turkey. But bread and butter, I should note that unlike previous witnesses, you and I have actually met.
Okay.
The Schiff one was good.
Really?
Things feel like some joke writers will not be pardoned and then will be collecting their things today.
Okay, here's
one. Even the president has holidays like the rest of our families. It's about politics all the time.
And it's about him. What happens at his Thanksgiving? Do you think they discuss him at his Thanksgiving?
We weren't going to talk about politics.
How about that Trump? Next thing you know, although I don't know if he'd mind that. You imagine just now on Thanksgiving, that's going to get rolled into it. Well, did you see what he did when he's partying the turkeys?
Now, Trump has the entire family go around the table and say good things about him. Why are you thankful for me?
Yeah. Well, we wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving.
Sure.
And we can't talk about the Bears. Politics, a bad idea.
Bread versus butter. Keep it simple.
I prefer the bread. If you had to live on an island with one of them, it would be the bread. Okay. But then again, if you're living with butter, you got a cow right there. But you don't want to kill the cow because you got it in butter.
There we go.
You need the, you know, I need the eggs.
That's good.
All right.
No shortage of new TV shows. You can always just talk about the 800th show you've binged over the past 2 months.
There you go.
And Richard Roper's going to tell us about shows coming up in just a few minutes that you can binge over this holiday weekend. So stay
classic
tuned for
radio
that.
Segue.
It's the Rokan Show right here on 720 WGN Chicago. Richard Roper is in the studio with us. And we should talk about, combined forces on a project here for the Chicago Sun-Times. You can also find it at WGNRadio.com. I got to see if this thing just landed at SunTimes.com.
Yes.
A podcast that you and I are doing based on the best movies of the decade. I think a lot of people will be surprised to know that the decade is ending on December 31st.
I did hear from a couple of people saying, well, why are you doing it a year early? And I'm like, no. When 2020 comes, that's the start.
Of the 20s.
Of the 20s. The roaring 20s. Right. I've copyrighted that because it's never been used before.
Now, there are some numerological sticks in the mud that make the argument, well, it doesn't really start until 2021. Yeah. That would be the first numeral. And I would, because remember people were saying, well, 2000, that's not the millennial, it's 2001.
Remember that, the whole Y2K thing, 1999, flipping over to 2000. You know,
like, yeah, everybody wore the 2000 glasses. 2020 is the beginning of the new decade.
Yeah, we're going with it at this point. So what we're doing on these podcasts is I listed the top 100 movies of the decade, the best 100 movies, but we broke it down by genres because we started thinking like we'll do a countdown. Then we realized, I don't know if there's going to be that much controversy about the 78th versus the 77th best film of the decade. They're all really good, but we get into genres. So we do best movies inspired by a true story, best animated films, best action movies, best hardcore dramas. And you know, we actually thank the Golden Globes for the category that we're doing of best comedy and or musical,
right?
So, and then we're going to do a finale where we talk about the best movies overall of the decade.
And people can find this at suntimes.com. They can look for it at WGNRadio.com. There's a link, I believe, to the Sun-Times there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, or you can go on Spotify or
Google Play.
iTunes, Google Play, wherever you find your podcast, just type in the search Best Movies of the Decade or Rokan or Richard Roper, and it'll pop right up there,
yeah. So thanks to everybody for all the fine work to get this going. And for those who have been asking me, too, Ro is the host and moderator of the program. As you know, he has seen only the trailers for some of these movies, although for most of the movies
he
does his homework, but I will take all the heat if people want to know why I listed this. I love when people say, you forgot something. I'm like,
yeah, this is your list.
I just didn't include it.
Yeah, this is your list, but it's a very well-informed list, and I have trouble disputing any of it, especially the trailers, because all the trailers are quite good.
And this is the perfect time to dive into a new podcast. People are always asking me, what's a good podcast be? And it's with the holidays. People always, when they're traveling, want fresh podcasts. Everybody's on the road this time of year. So
that's
dive
true.
In. We've been given a special sneak peek, and it's outstanding.
Thank
Very
you,
good
thank
stuff.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Especially for this time of year. Like you said, end of the decade. Therefore, it's a good time to listen to, you know, because everything is going to be coming out. The past 10 years, what did we do?
Exactly.
On Facebook, the picture comparison is going around.
Yeah, everyone wants
so
to do
it. So it started.
Yeah. And, you know, I went through approximately 3,500 reviews, you know, to go through them and decide which of the, you know, that's about how many reviews I did over the decade, maybe a little bit more than that, to get down to the top 100. So when you're getting to that level, they're all really, really good films. And you're going to, you know, there's some, but there's some that are way up high on the list that I don't think people will expect. We dive into that too. And also, to Lauren's point, people forget sometimes, like, you know, you go back to 2010, 2011, you go, oh, I thought that movie came out 20 years ago. It's still part of this decade.
Mm-hmm. I'm proud of a lot of things I've done. I'm really proud of what we've done here because it's a lot of fun to be able to talk about something that that obviously this is your bailiwick, right? Mm. This is a movie, is one of the premier movie reviewers in America. It's just fun to sit there and watch you work.
Oh, thanks.
So it is, it really, really, really is. It's a lot of fun. It's a great listen. Go to, like I said, suntimes.com or WGNRadio.com or Google Play or any place that you find the podcast, and you'll find the Richard Roper and Rokan best movies of the decade. There's two episodes up right now, each about 30 minutes. So
we're calling those episode one and episode two.
Ooh, episode three will land on Friday, by the way. So subscribe. Yeah. That's what we'd like you to do.
That would be awesome.
All right. Right now, Lauren Lapka can tell us what's happening on the roads and in the skies. News coming your way for the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom at the top of the hour. Isn't that correct? Alex Stone joins us from ABC News. And we bring him in because there is a controversy to end all controversies. the dog, Conan, the military dog, right, that was in part of the al-Baghdadi raid, became a hero, national hero, arrives at the White House yesterday, right, as many heroes do. Standing there, seemed to really like the vice president and the vice president's pants. He seemed to really be interested in that. But is he a she? Now, all of a sudden, the internet, as if people in America aren't mad at each other about enough stuff, there's a debate as to whether or not Conan is a boy or a girl or non-binary. I need an answer right now, Alex Stone.
Well, yeah, this has been not only a thing on social media, but a big thing in Washington as well, that when the president came out yesterday, he kept referring to Conan as being a boy, saying he is a tough cookie, he is a good dog. But then the White House came out after that, and several White House officials, along with a defense official at the Pentagon, and they said, hey, we just need to let you all know in the media that Conan is actually a girl, is not a boy. And that moving forward, you can address all stories about her as being a female. But then, oh, wait, the White House came out again a few minutes after that and said, oh, everything we just told you, forget about that. Conan is actually a boy. We were wrong. Well, that made everybody on social media go nuts, thinking that was the White House covering up for the president getting it wrong. So there are those who believe that. The White House and the Pentagon today officially had to say, they now have determined that Conan is a boy. Seems like this would be pretty easy to figure out, but that they have determined that there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Conan's a boy. Although, wow, if you look at the photos of Conan sitting there yesterday, where sitting like a dog does, where you can see all the junk there, that there's really no beans and franks, no meatballs going on there.
Well, you probably wouldn't have those anyway.
No, you wouldn't have
zooming
some of that
in and saying, wait a second, even if he's been fixed, where's, you know, the other thing? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So now a lot of people are saying, that's a girl.
I feel like Conan is being size shamed here, that there just might not be, you know.
Oh,
and there's also now they have released a statement that the pronoun will be they for Conan from now on, just to cover all the bases.
Exactly. Poor and Conan can use that bathroom with the triangle in the dress area.
Geez, here we go.
Well, Conan is a boy's name, right?
The Barbarian,
yeah, named
the O'Brien,
after Conan, the comedian. Yeah. That then Conan O'Brien was the reason the dog is named Conan. So you would think so, but
I can confirm that Conan O'Brien's a boy. I can confirm that.
But go ahead.
Did Conan O'Brien is a boy?
Yeah.
Well, you know, who knows? Maybe not. but the handler named the dog, and then maybe the handler was just really into Conan O'Brien. But you would think that yes, the handler would know and would have gone with the right sex.
Don't you think that Conan's a cute girl's name, though, too? I mean, if you ever had a baby girl right now, Conan, that's a cute name. My guess is there going to be some people at Thanksgiving throwing that out, too. Well, you know, when we have a daughter, we're going to name it Conan after the female dog that was at the White House. Although, you know.
Well, and it would make sense, by the way, if you talk about the popularity of the name. I talked to a breeder when this story first came out about a month ago about the raid and that it was a Belgian Malinois that did it. And they were getting bombarded by people, just like when 101 Dalmatians came out, everybody wanted a Dalmatian. Now everybody wants a Belgian Malinois. Now the problem is these are bred for the Delta Forces, Army Rangers, Navy SEALs, law enforcement, and they can be very nice dogs. They're not aggressive, but they're made as, they're usually bred as dogs of war or bomb sniffing, that sort of thing. And Irene Howcroft, who is a big breeder for the military in New Mexico, she's been getting crazy offers for them. Here's what she told me.
One gentleman called me, wanted a dog. I was not impressed with how he was going to take care of this dog or house the dog, and I said, I just don't have anything available. And he said, I will pay you $85,000 for a dog, to which my response was, there is not enough money on this planet for you to ever get a dog.
Yeah, ooh, I love her. Grand is what she was offered. Usually as a puppy, she sells them for about $2,000 to $3,000 if they're older and they've been trained in whatever discipline the person wants them in, then it's around $25,000. But her concern and others is that now breeders that may not be up to certain standards are going to crossbreed them, interbreed them, you're going to get a messed up breed, and that they are then going to overproduce them so that then they can sell them for big amounts of money, and then, you know, people who shouldn't have them are going to have them, and they're not going to be trained in the right way, and that you're going to get some that aren't bred correctly. So they're freaked out about that. But the purebred ones, highly intelligent, they, according to the breeders, who have, they say that the research shows that their IQs range from the age of a 5-year-old child to a 9-year-old child. They have deductive reasoning. They're compact. They're not aggressive. That for what they do in war, they're a perfect dog.
So I had one of these, have actually, in part of my extended family. We have, there's a
Belgian Malinois.
Yes. And he was given attack training. And I would just like to say this, that the family's not allowed around him except for his direct, you know, direct people, because he is, once they're trained in that, they can be, and I don't know, you know, again, you know, you're raising a puppy, and puppies generally kind of go with the way that they were trained. Although there is some instinctive things. I mean, there's no question. And these are dogs that are physically very capable of things.
Wow.
Right? And so the bite and the dummy training and all the rest of that stuff, and gun training, this I don't know why. Again, I would like not to explain exactly why, but that's... But
who's in your family?
I know. That's the question,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, so the thing is that these are, what you're dealing with, right, is dogs that are incredibly smart, incredibly capable, and you have to know how to handle them. So people who want to just jump ahead here and get a Belgian Malinois, it is a very, anybody who works in law enforcement or military that around these dogs, trains these dogs, they know this is not a typical family dog. Get the Golden Doodle, if that's what you want.
Mm.
Right.
Yeah.
But now, you know, a lot of folks have said, this is cool. I want this thing. Yeah. The president's praising the Belgian Malinois. Got Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. We want that in our home. And the breeders are saying, no, you don't. This is not the right dog for that. Whether you got one that's a male or a female, you don't want it necessarily in your home.
Right. Whether it's right. It doesn't matter. I've been around this dog, obviously, and I hide in the closet, but I've seen videos of this dog work, and it is absolutely amazing. And their ability to stop on a command, you know, you could like get them to, you know, go after something, whatever it is. And then just with one word, they stop and they sit. It is
cool.
Absolutely amazing. However,
they're incredible dogs. They really are. Is your family member law enforcement or military, or just has this dog for fun?
This is that's on a need to know basis.
Okay, I'll stop asking questions.
Reporter.
You had a bunch of cousins who were misbehaving, so the uncle said, "All right, listen."
Yeah, no, it was a guy who was high security minded, kind of an individual.
Okay.
He wanted one of these for his own personal protection, and it was really...
Well, there you go. Yeah. No, they're incredibly smart. They're incredibly good at what they do, and, you know, different than a German Shepherd or other dogs that a lot of people would think that's what a law enforcement or a military dog is. In some cases, they may be, but this go-around, it was a Belgian Malinois, and the dog did exactly what she was supposed to do, went in and got Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, or they tried to get up there before
he
killed himself.
He just called that dog a he-she. What are you doing? Well, you know, and they are, it is important to mention there are still a lot of German Shepherds and stuff involved, but one of the reasons the military uses these dogs in particular is because they're really good parachute dogs. They jump out of planes. They can do the halo. They can wear the oxygen. They can do all of that. And they're
amazing.
Very well trainable for jumping off the back of a C-130 or out of a helicopter or whatever it happens.
That is incredible. And they are compact.
They're light.
The breeders keep making the point that they're 40 to 65 pounds. Right. They're not aggressive except for when they've been trained to be, but when they need to be, and that they can get them into small spaces, and
they can find their way.
Them up, that they're relatively small.
Great for bomb sniffing. It's an amazing breed. I mean, you can read all about it. I don't think you're going to be seeing it in the Westminster Dog Show, though, necessarily on Thursday. All right, thanks very much. Appreciate it.
You got it. Beans and Franks. Goodbye.
Goodbye. He just, you know what? He's just happy that he was able to get away with that. And is it Westminster or is it just the National Dog Show or whatever it is on Thursday?
Anyway. I don't know. It's great either way.
Yes. Okay. Thank you very much. We've got the news coming over from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom and Rokan Show. Right here, 720 WGN. Afternoons, in case anybody's wondering. It's late afternoon now, 6:10. Yeah. Almost wow. Evening. Good. Richard Roper is here. Richard Roper is going to tell us about things we can watch over the weekend. Now, you got family in town, right? Or you're going out of town to be with family,
mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of gatherings. And sometimes you're tired of talking to each other, and you want to sit down and watch something, a good distraction. Or you want to go out to a movie
exactly.
And do something, right?
Yeah, absolutely
Black
true.
Black Friday.
And people love to go to the movies. Sometimes, you know, even the younger people. Well, we're all going to go to the movies for a while, and you guys can stay home and watch this. So all the movies we're talking about here, too, they're out tomorrow. They'll be out on Wednesday. Let's start with Knives Out. This is a film that's been getting a lot of buzz for quite a while. It looks like a good old-fashioned whodunit. Like Colonel Mustard might have done it in the kitchen
like
with
Clue.
A butter knife. Yeah. Like a Clue or Agatha Christie, right? And it is. It's a lot of fun. So the setup here is the great Christopher Plummer is the patriarch of the family. He dies on his 85th birthday. Appears to be suicide. But is it? One of the things I love about this movie is a lot of actors play against type. So Michael Shannon, who always plays, you know, very intense characters, plays kind of the bumbling son of the patriarch of the family. And Daniel Craig, James Bond, is a detective. He's a very celebrated detective, Detective Blanc, Benoit Blanc, who has a southern accent, although we're not really even sure he's from the south. So the scene we have here is Jamie Lee Curtis, who's the daughter of this great patriarch, wondering why Detective Blanc is even there.
Mr. Blanc, I know who you are. I read your profile in The New Yorker. I found it delightful. I just buried my 85-year-old father who committed suicide. Why are you here?
I'm here at the behest of a client.
Who?
I cannot say, but let me assure you this. My presence will be ornamental. You will find me a respectful, quiet, passive observer of the truth.
But interesting, in publicity for this movie, he's announced that the next James Bond movie coming out in the spring is his last one,
yeah.
And he's now going to stretch type here, right?
And he could do it. He's really funny in this. And Chris Evans, Captain America himself, plays another son in this family, and he's a bumbling, cowardly, scheming, duplicitous jerk. You know, the exact opposite of Captain America. So three solid stars for Knives Out. It is the kind of movie the whole family could go. You don't want to give anybody any ideas about knives coming out in real life. Put the knives away. Go see the movie. But it's an old-fashioned Agatha Christie. The whole time you're thinking, who really did it? Well, we did. I thought it was suicide. Wait a minute. And the twists and turns are pretty fun.
So it is really supposed to be a comedy.
It's mostly, yeah, it's a dark comedy, for
okay.
sure. Yeah, you're allowed to laugh at the
movie. Because Clue was like ridiculous, but funny. But
yeah,
ridiculous
exactly.
funny.
And this has got a lot of, you know, kind of multi-layered things, because the Christopher Plummer character, he built his fortune writing mystery murder novels. And now he's found dead on the night of his 85th birthday. Who's going to inherit the publishing fortune that he established? Ooh. Everyone has a motive.
Oh. He perfectly fits that role.
Oh, yeah.
The patriarch from the billionaire family and kind of the leader of the family and all that. Perfect
yeah.
role.
And a great cast.
So, like, Murder by Death or Clue
yep.
are farcical versions of it. Almost, they're like takes on the procedural murder mystery.
Exactly.
Right. And we don't need a murder mystery anymore. We have Dateline. We don't need to watch that anymore. The family could all sit around and watch Dateline. But this is more like, what was it, Ben Stiller movie where they all wore the tracksuits? It was
what?
It's sort of,
it was about seven, I think.
Royal Tenenbaums.
Yeah, the Royal Tenenbaums. It's kind of like that sort of.
This one's a little more accessible than that.
Yeah, and that was not so accessible.
Yeah, right. And everyone's having a lot of fun. It's one of those movies where you see the same scene played out from different viewpoints. Like, that's not at all what happened, as I recall.
The old Rashomon, they call that.
I like that. Yeah.
All right. Very good. So three stars for Knives Out.
Knives Out, yes.
All right. On the other side, we're going to talk about Dark Waters, which is Dark Waters. Sounds like Dark Waters.
The waters are dark.
They're very dark in this. And Queen and Slim. This is the guy who starred in Get Out.
Yes.
Right? And the commercial, I tell you this all the time. The commercial for this, very fascinating.
Controversial already.
Yes. And then on the also coming up on the other side, we're going to talk about if you want to stay home and binge stuff or stay with the family and binge stuff, you say there is the hottest new series available on all the binging services. And we'll tell you what that is. And if you have to get the new service to get it. So all that is coming your way. But first. first, let's check in with Lauren Lapko. What is happening on the roads and the skies?
It's an annual tradition like no other. Join WGN Morning News, Dan Ponce, Lauren Jiggets, and Sarah Gintra for Chicago's Thanksgiving Parade. Thanksgiving morning starting at 8 on WGN TV.
Richard Roper's in the studio with us. We're talking about movies you can go see over the long holiday weekend here. Knives Out, you gave 3 stars yes. to. Dark Waters.
Dark Waters will remind a lot of people of Aaron Brockovich. It's another one of those stories about a crusader who's representing a lot of people against a very powerful organization. And in this case, all based on a true story, as Aaron Brockovich, of course, was. Mark Ruffalo plays an attorney from West Virginia. And a lot of farmers are saying they're having a lot of problems on their land. Their cattle are dying. Their children are having all kinds of illnesses. And they think it's because the DuPont, the giant DuPont chemical company, is dumping barrels of unknown substances in the river. And they may have toxic levels that could be very poisonous. Mark Ruffalo, I think, is great at playing these earnest characters who really just are kind of quietly determined. We got a scene here where he's talking to one of the West Virginia farmers, but also explaining this is going to be an uphill battle.
The battle will be uphill. It will be an uphill battle.
Classic technical difficulty.
Wow, you're facing an uphill battle. Same guy from Knives Out.
Well, then we're having...
It's all right. Well, let's just move on because we got a bunch of stuff we're going to get to. I'm giving 3 stars to this. It's not... Aaron Brockovich was very audience-pleasing with Julia Roberts winning the Academy Awards. And it was very well done, but, you know, they had the Sheryl Crow music. It was a little almost light, even though it had a lot of serious stuff because, she, you know, the way Julia Roberts played the role. This is much more intense, but it is a true story. And this attorney spent more than 12 years representing these people who had, you know, suffered sometimes great injuries. Some had died. Birth defects. It all came true. And he actually eventually won one of the largest settlements in U.S. courtroom history against DuPont because a little substance called Teflon, when it first came into the world, there was maybe some dangerous levels. That's now been, you know, things have changed. This is all set in the late 1990s and the 2000s.
Well, they kind of changed. Some of the, there's been a rollback.
Yes.
In the last 2 months.
There's actually an astonishing scene in this movie when the Mark Ruffalo character comes home. Anne Hathaway plays his wife, and they've got 3 young boys. And he starts tearing up the entire house because it's not just the Pam cooking spray or not, whatever the brand is, but it's everything. The carpets, everything you could think of. And he's looking at their entire house, let alone the drinking water, and worrying about if it is going to affect his family.
So Mark Ruffalo gained weight for this role. Right? He's doing that method thing.
Not a lot. I mean, he's playing a character who ages. And actually, in real life, this character, you know, he was with a firm that usually defended the big chemical companies in environmental law type of things.
And he goes the other way.
And they actually encouraged him. They said, let's look into this. This might be a case we can take on. So it's not so much that he gains weight. He ages because he ages 15 years in the movie. And also ages even more than that because he almost kills himself. He works so hard. He literally suffers a stroke one day because he's working so hard on this case. It's him against 500 attorneys on the other side.
Wow.
3 stars.
Right.
Strong work.
All right. Queen and Slim.
Queen and Slim is a movie getting a lot of publicity. Daniel Kaluuya, people know him from Get Out. He was in Black Panther, one of our best young actors. This is a story that is fictional but feels like it could have happened. There's a young black couple on a first date. They're driving home in Cleveland, Ohio. A white police officer pulls them over. Things escalate and get quickly out of hand. Shots are fired. You end up with a cop dead on the street. And now Queen and Slim got to decide if they're going to call 911 or wait for the backup and explain what happened, which is probably not going to go their way. So what they do then is hit the road. Now, the interesting thing here is you think about this. They're going to get to Louisiana and then maybe eventually Florida, which means they're going to go through Kentucky and Tennessee. In other words, you have a young black couple on the run going through the Deep South. And as they're on the run, the camera footage from the shooting is being played on national TV. A lot of people are saying those are thugs who deserve to be brought to justice. Others are saying they're heroes. That was a racist cop who had a deadly shooting on his record already that was racially motivated.
Ripped from the headlines.
Ripped from the headlines. A lot of people are calling this the Black Bonnie and Clyde. I think it's a lot more akin to Thelma and Louise, because Bonnie and Clyde were hardcore criminals from the start. Thelma and Louise, in a fictional story, they were good people who got put into a situation. That's the case here. These two young people, they've never been in trouble with the law before. In fact, one of them is a criminal defense attorney. But they realize it looks bad, and they think their only way of surviving is to escape. And along the way, they meet friends and foes, shall we say. Some who want to help them out and keep them on the run, who believe they're folk heroes and start putting their graffiti up on, you know, buildings and things like that, songs being written about them. Others who say, if I see them, I'm turning them in. Fascinating film. Really intense. One of the best soundtracks you'll ever hear. The script is from Lena Waithe, who's done a million great TV shows.
The Shy.
And, yeah, and The Shy, the television series. It's Academy Award-level filmmaking, and it's one of those movies that I think is going to resonate with a lot of people. I'm giving it 4 stars.
Ooh,
it doesn't just give you one point of view and paint every single cop or every single fugitive or every single criminal in the same light. It's much more intelligence and nuance than that.
I don't think we deserve that here anymore.
smart movies also do, but it also is in its way, like, it's got a little bit of Easy Rider in it. You know, you got these people on the road and the characters they run into and the way their lives change, and they kind of change and evolve over the course of the journey as well.
Wow. 4 stars. So this will, you believe, will get an Oscar nomination?
I don't know if it'll get an Oscar nomination. Some of the music probably will. You know, it's a really crowded field this year. You know, it'll be interesting.
More
to see.
Come on that.
It'll be interesting to see how this film plays.
All right. Wow. Okay. So if you're going to stay home with the family,
yes,
and you want to start downloading stuff or streaming things, Disney Plus just went online 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
To great fanfare and a little bit of a hiccup, but it's up and working. I've actually downloaded it myself.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I figured out how to do it. I still can't figure out how I'm going to get the Hulu and other things. I want the ESPN Plus because I want to see the Peyton Place. But anyway, it's a separate issue. It's not about me. So let's talk about The Mandalorian, which was, that's their big first effort, right?
So good.
Yeah, Lauren could join in on this as well because she has seen these. The Mandalorian is a standalone series from Jon Favreau in the Star Wars universe, and it takes place just after the events of Return of the Jedi, correct?
Mm-hmm. I believe you said 5 years, but either way, they mention multiple times that, you know, the Empire has fallen. So it's pretty clear. Not to mention the stormtroopers are kind of what's the word for them?
They're kind of beaten up.
They're on their own.
They're mercenaries. They're being hired out as mercenaries and bodyguards because the Empire is and the Mandalorian. That's a bounty hunter. So he's a lone bounty hunter. It's very much like a spaghetti western in space. It's gritty, I think, and it's got a lot of the dark comedy. And you get to see all these, you know, different interesting creatures, and he has been tasked with tracking down the character everybody's calling Baby Yoda.
Yes. It's obviously a bounty hunter, so he's going to find things to collect the bounty for bringing them back. And you can tell that there's the connection with the bounty hunter. The helmets are very similar to Boba Fett from the original series.
Exactly. And Baby Yoda, there's all the speculation of what role Baby Yoda plays. Not actually Yoda as a baby, but it's of the same species,
right?
Because
clearly,
right?
Yoda is not,
spoiler alert,
a baby in this time frame.
Yeah, but Baby Yoda has captured the internet.
Oh, does it have the
force?
Adorable.
Does he have the force or does he not?
We'll
have the
find
force?
Out. Won't we?
You'll have to watch.
I think, Lauren, I don't know if you think, I think, first of all, it looks as good as a Star Wars movie. Every episode is visually, there's no cheapness here. It has that look and feel, and it has all these great, and we're meeting some new supporting characters. Mm-hmm. Carl Weathers, Apollo Creed himself, shows up and is great. Interesting human characters and great droids as well.
Yes, some interesting droids. Just when you think you've met all the droids you've ever would know in a Star Wars universe, even as a minimal fan, there's more to learn.
And what they're doing, what Disney Plus is doing, is interesting with these series. And actually, some of the other streamers are doing this as well. They're not dumping it all on you at one time. Right. If you want to watch The Crown, you know, over the next 16 hours, you could do that. But they're going to drop 3 episodes, which are about 30 minutes apiece, 40 minutes apiece. They're going to drop those 3 a week, right? Is that how they're doing it?
No, I think a new episode comes out every Friday. I was reading.
Every Friday.
So
it's
confused.
3 and then now every
Depends
Friday.
On the show. But something like this, they want it to be like good old-fashioned episodic TV.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting how they're making that mix now. Because one of the things that they're realizing, the streamers are realizing, is when they drop this stuff the way they've been dropping it all at once, that you can't engage in a conversation about it. Because some people have seen the whole thing, some people haven't seen the whole thing. And this now creates that social buzz that everybody's looking for. All
100%.
Right.
Good stuff. Really
very
good.
Exciting.
Very good.
All right, so how many stars?
Three and a half.
3.5 stars for The Mandalorian.
Yeah. Yep.
And on Disney Plus.
Only
and
3 episodes in, too.
Yep.
And if you want to watch Fantasia 100,000 times, you can do that on Disney Plus as well.
Wow.
All right, that does it for this edition of the Rokan Show. We'll be back with you. The show in full compilation will be back with you on Monday. Tomorrow, Pete McMurray is filling in for us. We want to thank him for doing that. And we got Chicago Blackhawks hockey coming your way next.